Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on learning from our mistakes right after this. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something's wrong with these Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, banned from our public institutions, and now they're banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these ten simple, time-tested laws, we see the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place, and they're teaching these ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, in our public institutions, and we've made them a part of our national psyche. Now, you know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years. Are you aware, for instance, that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but your daughter can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent? That's why I contend that the solution to this kind of moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. Our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments, and they put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. Now, there's at least one school left in America that still teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits that we receive for their observance. You know, every law has a penalty. And you don't have to know what that penalty is to suffer from its effect. So whether we call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, Natural Law, Karma, or something else, you know it's automatic. It works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happened to be the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free General Law CD package. Remember, that's a four-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's educational, and it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number to call is 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free General Law CD package. Now, once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Why don't you do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget? All right, we've been talking about learning from our mistakes. So far, we haven't learned much from World War I, World War II, or the Depression of 1783 through 1790, or the Depression of the 1930s, because we're in one right now again, and we're on the brink of another world war, which will be in the offing as soon as we get into this Great Depression a little bit further. So, on a big scale, human beings, nations, empires, and civilizations have continually made the same mistakes time after time after time ad nauseum. So you can forget about peace in our time. The prophets and politicians cry out peace when there is no peace. Now, if we can't learn from these big mistakes, can we learn from the little mistakes? If we take a look at the society around us today, we're headed into a Great Depression. And it's spearheaded by the collapse of the mortgage markets in America, which is now going around the world like a plague, like a virus, like a bubonic plague from country to country. And it's enveloping the entire world. Wouldn't it be kind of neat if we could learn from this mistake so that it didn't happen again? And that's what our politicians keep telling us. They say, just give us more trillions and trillions of dollars and we'll fix this and it won't happen again. But spending trillions and trillions of dollars isn't going to solve the problem. And furthermore, the trillions and trillions that are being spent aren't going to educate anybody as to what caused the problem to start with. So let's take a look at housing. One of the most basic things in life, after food, clothing, we need housing. And here in America, we go after housing in a big way. In fact, housing isn't just for shelter. Housing is for profit and gain. And the people that are selling this profit and gain are the real estate brokers, the bankers, and the politicians. And they encourage us, don't just build a house to keep you dry in the rain. Build a house to make profit and security and retirement for your old age. And so we bought into it, and that's what we've been doing. Now, what you see here is the results of that policy. That's what we've been doing, and here's the results. Cause and effect. Now, the reason that we will continue making this same mistake time after time after time is because nobody ever looks at the alternatives. Nobody's ever said, well, what would you do in place of buying a house on time, paying interest for 30 years, what else would you do? So I told you last time, I'll tell you the Henry Moore story. And this is the alternative. This is what we used to do in this country before the economy, before the income tax, before we adopted the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. We practiced the 10 commandment model. In the United States of America. Honest to God, believe it or not, we have not always been practicing communists here in this country. There was a time when people actually owned their homes free and clear. There was no mortgage crisis. There was no mortgage meltdown. All right, so here's the story of Henry. Henry Moore, I hadn't seen for 45 years. I went to my 45th class reunion, and I was sitting at the bar sipping on a margarita. And a guy came up and sat down next to me, and I looked over, and I said, this guy's really familiar. And I started searching through my mind, and it went back and back and back, 45 years. And I looked at this guy again, and I said, I think I know you. And he looked over at me and he said, well, you should. We were in Mrs. Denbo's English class together. And I said, are you Henry Moore? And he said, I am. And I couldn't believe my earballs. Here he was, Henry Moore. Now, Henry Moore, in the ninth grade, was 2 years behind in school. He should have been a junior, but here he was a freshman in Mrs. Denbo's English class. He was a tall, lanky fellow, and he was shy and introverted, and he never stood out in class. I don't know what his grades were in English class, and it's the only class that he was in that I can remember. He might have been in one of my PE classes, but that's the only class that I remembered. He was in the ninth grade, freshman year, Henry Moore. There he was. He was about 6 foot, 4, 5, 6 inches tall. I mean, he's a great big, tall, skinny guy. And this guy sitting on the bar stool next to me was a big, tall, skinny guy. He still looked like, you know, of course he was 62 or 3 years old, but, you know, he still looked like the Henry Moore of the ninth grade to me. So I bought him a drink, and we got talking and chit-chatting a little bit. And I said, gee, what are you doing? Are you getting ready to retire? Because that was, you know, the anniversary of our 62nd year in life. It was 62 years old, and people that are 62 start signing up for Social Security. And so he said, yeah. He said, as a matter of fact, I'm retired from the electrical, or the National Brotherhood of Electricians or something union. And he said, I'm about ready to sign up for my Social Security benefits. But he said, actually, that's not my main retirement. He said, I have 6 rental houses, and that's what I'm really counting on for my retirement, is my rental properties. And I said, rental properties, that's interesting, because I used to be in the rental business, and I was in the real estate business and general contractor. for many years. And I said, tell me the story. And so here's what he said. He said, well, I started out when I got out of high school, and I apprenticed out into the electrical union, and I became an electrician. And then little by little, I saved a certain portion of my paycheck every month. And I bought building materials, and I'd buy a lot, and then I'd build a house on it. It takes me about 3, 4, 5 years to build a house. And then I would rent it out, and I'd save my money, and then I'd take the rent from that house, and then I'd build me another house, and then I'd build another house, and build another house, and build another house. And now I've got 7 houses. I live in one, and I rent 6. Now, I didn't get the rent schedule from him per se, but this was back about 2002, as I recall. And in 2002, in Eureka, California, houses were running for about $1,000 a month. So I would just assume that Henry had $1,000 a month free rent because he lived in one of his own houses, and he had $6,000 a month of rent. Now, these houses, I talked to another buddy of mine up there. He had a house out on Myrtle Avenue, and his house was worth $238,000. And I want to tell you that that $238,000 house in 2002, when we were kids growing up, that same house built back about 1900 on Myrtle Avenue, in 1955, 56, 57, you know, when we were in high school, would have sold for about $5,000, $6,000, $7,000. And now it's worth $238,000. That's what happens with these bubbles. So at the top of the bubble, you know, you think you've got a lot of money here. And so I looked at this and I said, oh my God, here's Henry Moore 2 years behind in school. He goes through life, he reaches the end at retirement, and he's got $6,000 a month coming in. I don't know how much from his electrical union retirement, and he's got Social Security. Now, I checked on my Social Security, had I had it. I resigned from many years ago, but they would have paid me $805 a month back in 2002. So He would have had that. That's at least how much he was getting. Hey, wait a minute. This guy didn't do too badly, did he? $238,000. Let's just multiply that times 7, shall we? $238,000 times 7 houses. That's $1,666,000 worth of real estate. And he's acquired this in his lifetime. And this is a guy who academically, He probably couldn't go to college. I don't think he was smart enough to do the entrance exam. And I'm not telling you that this guy's dumb. Streetwise, probably as an electrician, he might be a genius. But academically, you know, if this guy was going to go into law school or medicine or something like that, I mean, he didn't have a prayer. But I don't think he did too shabby, did he? $1,666,000 worth of real estate producing, $6,000 a month. How much is that, by the way? 6,000, 6 times 12 is, look at that, $72,000 a year. I'll bet you that Henry never made $72,000 as an electrician any year of his life. But he's making $72,000 now, or the equivalent thereto. Not bad. How did he do that? He did it the old-fashioned way. He did it without interest or usury. He did it without the banks, real estate brokers, or politicians. He did it without any subsidies. He followed the Ten Commandment model. Now, this guy's not religious. I don't know if he goes to church or not. It never came up. Oftentimes, when I mention the Ten Commandments, people get turned off and they say, oh my God, this guy's an evangelist and he's trying to get me saved. Oh, perish the thought. Not at all. It has nothing to do with religion. In fact, if you want to test it, just walk into church someday and start talking about the Ten Commandments and find out how fast everybody moves away from you. Nobody in church. I have never met a Christian that wants to talk about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments don't have anything to do with religion. And that's because nobody in religion talks about the Ten Commandments. They all carry a Bible around and give the Ten Commandments a bad name, but they don't practice it, and they don't talk about it. But this guy Henry Moore did, and let me show you how he was doing it. You see, it's against the law, it's against the scriptural law, it's against the law of God to pay usury and interest. Now, the average Joe Sixpack goes down, pays $5,000 down to buy a $50,000 house. He finances $45,000 at, oh, say 8.5% interest for 30 years. Now, I've already done the math, so I'll tell you what the answer to that one is. If you finance $45,000 for 30 years at 8.5% interest, you're going to pay $135,000. That's $45,000 times 3. That's $135,000. That's, you're going to buy one house for you and two houses for the banker. That's the way that works out. Isn't that special? At 6% interest, if you do that, you'll buy one house for you and 1.25 houses for the banker. Now, the scripture tells you not to practice usury and interest because it costs so much, it will impoverish you. It's called the magic of compounding. And if you want to see how the magic of compounding works, if you take a penny and double it 32 times, that is 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, on the 32nd doubling, it equals $40 million. $40 million. One penny, doubled 32 times. And that's what happens when you pay interest, because the interest compounds and it doubles over time. And every time it doubles, then your profit's cut in half. That's what happens to you when you buy a house, which is, you know, called the American dream. The people that call this the American dream are the politicians, and they say, get after it. Then the real estate broker comes in and says, we've got this house out in Bellwood Estates, and we'd like to put you in it because it's appreciating in value, and it's getting more and more valuable, and you're just going to make a killing on it. And then the bank comes in and says, okay, we'll help you finance it. Put so much down, we'll take the mortgage on it, and you can pay us for 30 years. In the process, you impoverish yourself, enrich the bankers, the politicians, and the real estate brokers. And then when the Ponzi scheme finally deteriorates and explodes, then you can pay trillions of dollars to bail them out. Not bail yourself out, but to bail the real estate brokers and the bankers out. And that's what you're doing right now. Isn't that just real special? So now a lot of times people say, well, okay, if you're so damn smart, then how would you do it? You know, they get kind of snippy. Like, if you're so damn smart, why don't you explain this to us? All right, now gather around, boys and girls, because I'm going to explain it to you. I'm going to explain to you what everybody in the fourth grade knew in 1900. I mean, by the time you got to the fourth grade, you would have been able to figure this out in 1900. Today, you people have college degrees and you still haven't got it figured out, and you never will. Never will. You've been dumbed down now to such a degree, based upon the propaganda that's been funneled into your brain, that you can no longer think. Think. All right, so let's test this for a minute. I just told you Henry Moore did it. He's not the only guy that did it. I know of a lot of people that did it. It's just that when Henry Moore did it, I was absolutely dumbfounded because I thought Henry Moore was stupid. I thought that a guy that's 2 years behind in high school hasn't got enough moxie to do something like this. Not only did he have the moxie, this guy was not stupid. He was not dumb at all. I don't know of very many real estate brokers, lawyers, or doctors who have 7 houses free and clear. I know of a lot of these guys that have a lot of houses in real estate. They don't have them free and clear. They've got mortgages on them. They're equitable interest holders in due course of an equity in somebody else's property. Now, that's pretty common, working for the bank. Now, let me tell you a story over here about Bob Hallstrom. Bob Hallstrom was a business associate of mine back in the early 1980s at Barrister's Inn. And Bob was a retired Army major. Now, he had a wife named Sue, and Sue worked as a secretary. I don't know how much money Sue made, but Bob had a $1,500 a month retirement check coming from the Army. And Bob and Sue wanted to build a house, and they wanted to own it free and clear. And they didn't want any mortgage or payments on the house. How do you build a 1,700 square foot, 3 bedroom, 1 bath house with a barn, a shop, a ram pump, a septic system, and a pole barn over your Nomad trailer for $17,000 over 36 months and own the whole thing free and clear. Oh, and they had to buy the land too. How do you do that? Okay, it's very simple. Gather around now. Get your pen and paper out here. Let me show you how I've done it. Bob did it. Now, Bob wasn't dumb. I mean, Bob's a pretty sharp guy. And unlike Henry Moore, he never did seven houses, but he's going to do one, which is all that any normal family needs to do. You only need to do this one time in your entire lifetime. You need a house. You need a home. You need a home that's free and clear. You need a home that's big enough for you and all of your kids. You got 12 kids. You need about, maybe 13 bedrooms. I always liked the idea of having a bedroom all to myself. Typically, families with multiple children, they'd have to share and have bunk beds. But I was an only child, and I had my own bedroom, so I'd kind of like to have my own bedroom. I think every child should have his own space. I'm just me, I guess. So Bob took one-third of his $1,500 a month coming in, and they lived on the other $1,000 a month plus Sue's earnings. And they had a house. Now, the house in Boise, I don't think was free and clear. I think they had a mortgage on it. I think they were making payments. I'm not positive about that. But they wanted to build a house in Prairie, Idaho. They wanted to get out of the country, out into the country, away from the city. And Prairie, Idaho is out in the boondocks. I mean, it is the boondocks. And he bought 5 acres from a rancher out there. 5 acres of rock. It's all lava. You know, it's just... Got trees on it, but it's talk about poor ground. Oh my goodness, it is. Yeah, I mean it's really poor. And he paid $500 for it, which I would imagine it was worth $500 as a building site, but it wasn't worth $500 in my view for cattle ranching or farming or anything like that. And it's got a little dirt on it. It's got dirt and brush. Doesn't rain much. $500 now. Plug that in, because where you live, you may have to pay $5,000 an acre. You may have to pay $25,000 for that piece of ground. I talked to a student up in Montana. He says it's common up here for people to be paying $10,000 an acre. And I took a look and I said, my God, I never saw an acre in Montana that was worth $1,000. You know, compared to California or Washington, Oregon, I mean, where they got real dirt, you know, and where things grow. Not to run you people in Montana down, but, you know, that's not exactly prime real estate up there. And you don't have prime climate either. But anyway, you know, you gotta do what you got to do. So if you want to build a house up in Montana, what might cost you $10,000 an acre? So you got to plug that in to your equation here. How much are we going to pay to build this house? Down here in the Ozarks, land runs from around $2,000 to $10,000 an acre, depend on where you're located. But, you know, you can buy 5 acres of ground down here for $10,000. Well, maybe $25,000. Depends on who you're buying it from and where you get it. I'd say probably it's going to cost you $5,000 for a small acreage. See, the smaller the acreage, the more you got to pay per acre. If you bought 80 or 100 acres, it might be $2,000 an acre. But 5 acres is going to cost you a little more. Land cost. So he's got $500 into his property. Now, $500 a month over 36 months is $18,000. When he got all through, he had a shop. The shop was probably about, I don't know, 400 or 500 square feet, I'm going to say. And he had a pole barn over his 16-foot Nomad trailer. And he had a little small barn. Barn was probably 30 by 40. Pole barn with sides on it. And he had a 1,700-foot house, one bathroom, three bedrooms, and he paid $17,000 for the materials to build all of it. Now, here's the way he got the labor done. He got guys like me. Bob would buy beer, and he'd say, hey, come up here on the weekend and help me build my house. And so I went up there numerous times and helped Bob build his house. And Nealis Cook did, and all the rest of the guys in the office did, and we'd go up there on the weekends, drink beer, and build the house. And it took him about 3 years. And in 3 years' time, just working on the weekends, because it was hell, it was out there 60 miles from Boise. It was an all-day trip to drive out there and drive back and then do a little something out there. So we'd go out there like on Friday night and then work over the weekends. And then come back Sunday night. See? Sleep out under the stars. And then in the wintertime, you can't do hardly jack squats. You know? But once you get the house closed up, then you can work in the wintertime. But now, is that unusual? Let me give you the numbers on this. Bob paid $17,000 for a 1,700-square-foot house. Now, if that house had been sold, it was probably worth $60,000. And that's because $18,000, let's just round it off to $18,000, $18,000 is just the cost of the materials. Half the price of a house is labor. Labor and material. And then the other half of the price of the house is the profit. So watch this. If you've got a house that sells for $50,000, the contractor's making $25,000, and it cost him $12,500 for the material and $12,500 for the labor. He built the house and made a $25,000 profit. The banker takes the house, requires that you pay him $5,000 down to give you an equitable interest. He finances $45,000 for 30 years, and that costs you $135,000. So $12,500 worth of building materials will build a $135,000 total priced house. So you people out there are paying $135,000, buying a $50,000 house, $5,000 down, and you could have built it for $12,500. And that's what Bob Hallstrom did, and that's what Henry Moore did. Now, I'm an old-timey general contractor, and I can tell you that's what I do when I build a house. So if you're living in a $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 house, what did it cost to get that house built? Half the price of the house is profit. So let's just take a $200,000 house. You're sitting in a house and you say it's worth $200,000, okay? Half of its profit, that's $100,000. Half of its labor and half of its material. $50,000 of its material. Now, if you went out and took your money and you just saved it, now people ask me, well, how do you save $50,000? Well, back in 1980, $500 a month was quite a bit of money. Today, $4,000 a month is $48,000 a year, and that's the median average. Now, there's an old principle called always save half, because there are people out there that are making $96,000 a year and spend it all. And there are people that make $48,000 a year, and at the end of the year, they spend it all. There are people that make $24,000 a year, and at the end of the year, they spend it all. Here's the secret to your success. Always save half. Bob Hallstrom saved one-third. But if you save one-half of $48,000, that's $24,000. In 24 months, you'll have enough money to build that $200,000 house. Then you apply your labor over 36 months, because that's about how long it takes a man and his wife to build a house. Just a man and his wife working together. Spare time, evenings, weekends, holidays, time off days, things like that, take you 3 years, 36 months. But when you get through, you'll own the house free and clear. Now, when somebody buys a house, try this compounding again. When you buy a house for $50,000 and you pay for that house over a period of 3 years, you're buying one house for you and two houses for the banker. And what they're trying to do now is to get the interest rates down to 4.5%, 5%, so that it saves you money. You buy one house for you and one for the banker. Listen, boys and girls, why don't you build two houses? And why don't you build both of those houses for you and let the banker and the real estate broker go to hell in a handbasket? Now, how's that for a plan? And let me give you a reminder here at about the halfway point that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. However, these endorsements and recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors and publications that we're endorsing and recommending are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans in their viewpoints. May not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, the beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers or the sponsors or the management or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about learning from our mistakes. Now, the mistakes that we Americans have made and exported to all the rest of you people around the world is that we've been buying, selling, and trading real estate, paying interest and usury, using fiat currency. We've been violating all of the economic laws of the Bible. And when you do that, there's an outcome. There's something that happens at the end of the process, and it's called economic collapse. It's called depression. We've done it before. It's been going on. It's been going on for thousands of years, so don't think that this is something new. It isn't. I'm not looking forward to this Great Depression, but I've been prepared for it for many years. I've been expecting it for many years. I've been teaching about it for many years. I've been telling people, hey, get ready, you know, suck it in, because here it comes. And then that's back in the 70s and 80s. And, of course, back in those days, people look at you like you're Mork from Mork drinking water out of your little, with your little finger. You know, you're kind of some kind of a nut. Now, today, you know, nobody is gainsaying me. Nobody's saying, oh, yeah, that's right, Mr. Gordon, you've been saying this for 30 years, and now it's finally come to pass. Everybody's silent. Whereas they say the silence is deafening. Now, for most of you, you're already in the water. In fact, you're almost, if you're not already, you're going to be underwater. If you've got a house and it's about ready to be foreclosed on, you should get on your knees and thank God Almighty. Oh, my God, that's the best thing that could happen to you. I know you're sitting there saying, huh? Well, I'm just working my heart out trying to make my payments and stay in my house. Oh, that's a mistake. You haven't learned anything here yet, Bob. You see, Bob, your problem is the house payments. Your problem is the mortgage. That's what the problem is. You need to learn from this mistake and get the hell away from it.
Now watch this. I don't care how much equity you got in your house. You're not going to save it anyway. Hell, you're going to lose your job here pretty shortly. Wake up and smell some coffee here. In any event, even if you're able to keep your house and make the payments on it over here, you're losing money every day. Let me show you how this works. You know, one of the first things I hear about home ownership is, where would I live if I don't buy a home? Well, let's try building our own. A $50,000 home costs $25,000 to build. When you buy it with an 8.5% fixed rate mortgage for 30 years, you buy one house for you at retail. Then you buy two more houses at retail for the banker at the same time. Now, I hope you build your own house for $25,000. That's one for you and five more for you, just like Henry Moore. No matter how much money you make, you're going to spend all of it. And the man who makes $100,000 a year spends it all, same as the guy with $50,000 or the guy with $25,000. The trick to this is to save half. Cut your living standard in half. Whatever your living standard is today, cut it in half. Live on one half. Save the other half. If you're making $20 an hour, live like you're making $10. If you're making $50, live like you did when you made $25. Then stop paying income tax. Stop paying insurance. Stop paying interest. Practice strict liability. Don't practice usury. Start tithing. And in less than 3 years, you'll have the cash to build your own home. In 6 years, you'll have enough money to pay retail and have it built for you. So at the end of 3 years or at the end of 6 years, you're going to own your own home free and clear. And the next 24 years will be a profit to you instead of a loss. See how simple that is? Hey, boys and girls, that's what I do. That's what Henry Moore did. That's what Bob Hallstrom did. And those guys are living in their homes free and clear. And you're living in your home with a mortgage on it. And if you keep making that mortgage payment faithfully, month after month after month, in 3 years, you still won't own your home. In 6 years, you still will not own that home. Now, let them take the damn house. Move out. Go live in a tent. And we'll start over at zero COD. Now, this is important. Because we have to get you up to zero COD. That's all. And then we have to do something out here in the real world to make money. To create wealth. We got to go out and work for somebody. Or we've got to go out and buy, sell, and trade. And produce things that people want, need, and will pay for. So that we'll have something. Now we're going to take that something and save half. Always save half. Then, at the end of a period of time, let's say 1 year, we will start building our house. We'll buy a piece of ground. Then, we'll start buying building materials, just a little at a time. Every month, Bob Hallstrom would go down to Thriftway Lumber Company, buy some building materials, load them in his pickup, and drive out to Prairie. I mean, every weekend, he had a truckload of building materials. He went out there every weekend. And at the end of 3 years, you had a house. And at the end of 3 years, you'll have a house. And at the end of the 3 years, you'll have a house that you own free and clear. That's the secret to it. Now somebody says, well, I'm already unemployed living in a tent down by the railroad tracks. Well, it's already too late for you. You've already lost your house. Best thing ever happened to you. I always tell people that. They'll call up there and they'll say, well, they foreclosed on my house. I say, congratulations. Best thing ever happened to you. Now you can go out and start making some money. As long as you got this millstone around your neck, you're always going to be poor. Now, you need a house. I don't deny that. But the last thing you need is a house with a mortgage on. That's the last thing. Now, let's run through the numbers here, and I'll show you something here when you're buying a house. If in 1955 you bought a house for $50,000 with an interest rate of 6%, now, who wouldn't like to have a 6% interest, $50,000 house, with monthly payments of $300 a month and a down payment of 10%, $5,000. When you pay for that house over 30 years, the total interest is going to be $62,100. The amount financed is $45,000. The principal payments every month will be $125 a month. The average monthly payments will be $297. I rounded it off to $300. The taxes per month will be $600 a year, $50 a month. The upkeep will be $50 a month, $600 a year. And the insurance is going to be $50 a month or $600. The brokerage fee is going to be 5%, and then the points, mortgage, insurance, title search, closing costs for 30 years is going to total $186,100. Just add it up. That's what we call in business the cost of goods sold. I never have run across anybody yet. When they come in here and they say I'm upside down on my mortgage, I say, well, what's your cost of goods sold on your house? And they look at you with a blank stare, like you're speaking Swahili, Mr. Gordon. What do you mean, cost of goods sold? I say, well, now when you buy a car, there are expenses that go along with it. So could you tell me what are the total expenses on this house amortized over 30 years? And they all say, I don't know. Oh. And yet these people, when they sell their house, they'll say, boy, did I make a killing. I made a great profit. How much profit did you make? Well, I bought the house for $50,000 and I sold it for $150,000. How much profit did you make? Well, I made $100,000 profit. You know, I've been in the business world for years and years, and I'd like to ask you, since when does the gross selling price equal net profit? Huh? Since when? You mean to tell me you buy it for $50,000, you turn around 30 years later, sell it for $150,000, never had a dollar's worth of expense the whole 30 years? Never paid a dime's worth of tax, never paid anything to have the upkeep? I never lived in a house for 30 years, and the carpet would last for 30 years. I've never seen a 30-year roof. Have you? Since when do the roofs on your homes last for 30 years? Since when does the dishwasher, the washing machine, and the other appliances in your house last for 30 years? Oh, well, yeah, I did have to re-roof the house. Oh, yeah, we did put in new drapes and carpets. Did you write that down as a cost of goods sold? No. Oh. So you had some expenses, but you don't know how much the expenses were, but you made a profit, but you don't know how much the profit is because you don't know what the expenses were, but you're satisfied with your purchase and your sale. Let me tell you something. Listen up here. When you buy a house for $50,000, and you make your payments, $300 a month, 360 months in succession, and you turn around at the end of 30 years and sell your house for $250,000, five times what you paid for it, do you know what your net profit is? Net profit. Write this down. I'll have something to talk to your wife now about over dinner tonight. You can ask her this question. Sweetheart, we paid $50,000 for our house, remember 30 years ago. We faithfully made 360 payments of $300 a month at 6% interest, remember? When we got all through making those payments, and after we paid all of the upkeep and the insurance and the taxes and all of these expenses, let me run through these for you again so that you can see. Here's what your cost of goods sold is. Purchase price, interest rate, monthly payments, down payment, total interest, amount financed, principal payments per month, average monthly payments, taxes per month, upkeep per month, insurance per month, brokerage commission, points, mortgage, insurance, title, insurance, search, closing costs for 30 years. You got that? 14 items down here, Bob. When you get through paying all of those 14 items for 30 years, you have a net loss of $90,000. Bob, that means that it cost you $90,000 out of your paycheck to live in that house. And you people are selling these houses for five times what you paid for them, and you honest to God believe you're making a profit on it. And I'm here to tell you there isn't one of you people out there that can count, which isn't surprising. I mean, hell, you went to public school. Now, if you went to public school and they taught you people how to count, you wouldn't buy a house like that, would you? Let me ask you this. Would you go out here and buy a house, and if I'm the real estate broker and I say, now when you buy this house, you're going to live in Bellwood Estates. You're going to live up here with all the snobs. And you're going to make a monthly payment of $300 a month out of your paycheck. Now you're working down here at this company, you know, putting the left front tire on this car as it goes by at General Motors, or maybe you're a Mr. Goodrich, you're down here working for 30 years. and you're going to take $300 a month out of your paycheck every single month, and you're going to pay on this house. And when you get to the end of 360 payments, you'll have a $90,000 loss. Isn't that wonderful? Would you like to sign up for that today? I think that you people would say, well, hell no, I don't want to buy a house and it's going to cost me $90,000. Well, then the real estate broker comes along and says, well, look, would you like to live in Bellwood Estates? Well, of course I'd like to live in Bellwood Estates. Would you like to buy a house for $50,000 and sell it for $250,000 and make a $200,000 profit for you to retire on so you can buy a Winnebago and drive around America in your golden years? Yes, yes, I'd like to do that. Sign here, son. Just sign up right here. This is the deal that we've got for you. Nobody ever does the arithmetic on these deals. You can rest assured the banker does the arithmetic. The broker's doing the arithmetic. In fact, they got little books, and they're called amortization tables. You can buy one of those. You know, just go into Office Depot. Tell them you need a Staples or something. Tell them you need an amortization table. I want to know what the interest is costing me on this house. I don't know how long it's going to take to amortize this loan. How much are the taxes on this house? What does it cost to keep a house up? Let me tell you, on a $50,000 house, $50 a month won't touch it. And that's all I put down was $50 a month, $600 a year. There isn't any way in hell that for $600 a year you can keep up a $50,000 house for 30 years. No way in hell. And that's all I budgeted in was 50 crummy bucks. The loss is really more than $90,000. More. Probably more like $180,000, but I want to be realistic. Now, the average guy, when he sells his house for $250,000, he says to himself, wow, look at the profit I've made. Let me show you something here. You bought the house in 1955, okay? You paid $50,000 for it and $5,000 down. Have you ever heard of inflation? Inflation. And everybody says, well, yes, of course. And your house inflates to $250,000 over 30 years. Isn't that wonderful? So now I'm making five times as much money. I paid $50 and sold it for $250. Isn't inflation wonderful? No. Dummy? No, no. Let's wake up and smell the coffee here. Remember, this house cost less cost of goods sold. Cost us $186,100. Remember that? That's not inflation. That's just the direct costs out of your pocket. $300 a month. Every month you had to pay that money out every month. So you're making $1,000 a month over here at Mutual Plywood. And $300 a month is going to your house payment. $700 a month is what you're living on. Okay? So your standard of living's taking a 30% hit. Next. Your gross profit for 30 years, then, if you subtract $186,100 from $250,000, you had a gross profit of $63,900. We'll round it off to $64,000. And that means that your total income per year off of this investment is $2,130. Your capital gain tax is $17,892. So your adjusted net profit's $46,000. I know somebody's going to say, yeah, but wait a minute. This is my only home, and I get a $100,000 once-in-a-lifetime tax deduction. Okay, take it. You're going to need it because it isn't going to be anywhere near enough. Because you had an inflation tax going on this whole period of time, see? And here's what your inflation tax is. It's called purchasing power. See, the purchasing power of your dollars back in 1955 was greater than your purchasing power in 1985 dollars. Or if you bought your house in 1985, 9,505, 15 in your 2015, 30 years of inflation is going to be added on to that. So I'll show you how that works. Let's suppose that you had $100 in the bank in 1980, and you just left it there. In the year 2000, prices went up over that 20-year period. Prices go up 50%. And so what that means is it now takes $200 to buy what $100 would buy in 1980. Put another way, you lost half the purchasing power of your money. But you say, well, wait a minute, I have my money in the bank at 5% interest. Okay. Well, that helped. You didn't lose the whole $100. You didn't lose the whole $50. You got 5% interest compounded. Let me show you how that works. Remember this compounding? If you had $10,000 and you invested $10,000 in the stock market at 5%, which was the average from 1960 to 2000 in that 40-year period, you invested your money, and there it is. It's sitting there. It's in blue chip stocks, General Motors, you know, Westinghouse, General Electric. God love you. How much money do you make in 40 years? The answer is 7 times what you invested. You're gonna end up with $73,000. And you say, wow, God, I invested my $10,000, and now in the year 2000, I got $73,000. Boy, am I smart. Am I a wise investor? No, you got your head up your hind end. Adjusted for inflation, your net loss is $3,800. Because now $10,000 doesn't buy as much as it did in 1960. So in 1960, you could have bought 10,000 loaves of hillbilly bread, dollar a loaf. Ah, but wait a minute. Bread back in 1960 wasn't a dollar a loaf. It was only 20 cents. So you could have bought 50,000 loaves of bread. Now take your $73,000 down and start buying bread at $2 or $3 a loaf and see how far it goes. That's what I keep telling my students. You know, they walk in the door and say, hey, wait a minute, inflation's your enemy. It's not your friend. And now your government's out here inflating your currency. They just spent $12.8 trillion. And you think that they're doing you a favor? They're going to bail you out of this recession, this depression, huh? Boys and girls, this fiat paper is your problem, not your salvation. These people aren't saving you. These politicians are burying you people. You're never going to get out from under this debt load. Never, never, never. Now, if you want to get out from under the debt load, then you unload the debt and start over again at zero COD. And the sooner you get to zero COD, the sooner you can start making money. Now watch this. Here's what inflation did to you. You see, in 1955, $5,000, that's your down payment. You could have walked into any Chevrolet dealer and bought two brand new 1955 Chevrolet automobiles. Isn't that amazing? Two 1955 Chevrolet automobiles just for the down payment, $5,000. Now, you remember you paid $300 a month, every month faithfully, for 360 months. Remember that? All right. That $300 a month for the year 1956 was $3,564, wasn't it? Okay. Well, you could have bought one 1956 Buick automobile for those $300 a month payments, $3,600. Now, in 1957, 58, 59, 60, every year that went by, you could have bought one new car. At the end of 30 years, you should have 30 new cars, shouldn't you? Okay. Now, remember, when you sold out and paid all your taxes, you got down on the bottom line, you had $46,000 left. $46,000, rounded off to 50. You got $50,000. And you say, well, that's what I paid for the house when I started. You bought the house for 50, you end up with 50. Wait a minute. You got 30 years worth of inflation. Your $50,000 today ain't going to buy what $50,000 would have bought 30 years ago. And so the net loss is $3,564 a year times 26 years. The net loss is $92,664, and that's on the light end. That's your minimum loss for buying that house. And these guys are telling you, you want to buy this house so that you can retire on the proceeds? Huh? Huh? You believe that? No wonder people buy things like the Brooklyn Bridge and Ponzi schemes with Bernie Madoff. I tell you, this Madoff guy over here, you think that people that have millions and millions of dollars are pretty smart people? and they give their money to Bernie Madoff, and he screws them out of $50 billion. Well, hell, you people are doing it, but a little bit differently. You're giving your money to the bank buying houses, and you, honest to God, believe that your money's growing every year and that you're making money and that your balance sheet, and they show you your balance sheet, and boy, it's got more dollars on it than it had last year, and every year it's got more dollars on it and less purchasing power. More dollars and less purchasing power. You old people believe in Social Security like it was the Holy Grail from God himself. It's called the third rail of politics here in the United States. Inflation in this country in 2007 was running at 12.6%. Price increases, 12.6%. And the government come out and gave the Social Security recipients 3.8%. 3.8 from 12.8 or 12.6 to 3.8. Well, figure it out. Round it off to 4 and 13. They're taking a hit of 9% per year. They're losing 9% of their purchasing power per year. And my God, they just believe in and love Social Security. When I tell people I dropped out of Social Security back in 1978, resigned in 1984, and today I'm 70 years old and don't have any Social Security, they look at me, they gasp, and they say, oh my God, how do you live? And I tell them, very well, thank you. When I quit throwing my money away, I started living better. And so can you. Now, I'm not here on an evangelistic campaign trying to save the homeowners of America from their foreclosures. But let me tell you that when the foreclosure comes, that's going to be the brightest day of your business career. When they take that albatross from around your neck, now you can go out and actually make some money, if you're smart enough to figure that out. Now, of course, if you're not smart enough to figure that out, they'll probably put another albatross around your neck called hyperinflation and let you pay off the hyperinflation with lower and lower wages. You see, you get higher and higher prices with lower and lower wages. Boy, isn't that going to be fun. If your wages are going to go down, don't your costs have to go down commensurate with the wages? Huh? All right, so that's the story. Now, gold and silver come into play here. You know, gold and silver hold their value. From the year 2000 on, every year while prices and inflation's been going up, gold and silver's been making a profit every year, every year. And then all the gold and silver guys are saying, wow, we're making money every year. What a crock of BS. All that means is you're not losing money as fast as the guy with houses. That's all. Adjusted for inflation, we haven't made a dime in gold and silver. Not a penny, not a dime. We just haven't lost as much money as the guys that have stocks and bonds. It is true. You people with stocks and bonds are losing your shirt, your pants, and your underwear. Those of us that have gold and silver, we're only losing our shirts. We're not losing our pants and underwear. But we're not making anything either. So next time somebody says, well, you just need to invest in gold and silver and that'll solve all your problems. You got your head up the hind end again. Well, that isn't true. Do the arithmetic. Just sit down there and start doing the arithmetic. Maybe you could use an old Sharp EL1197G. That's about what I got. It's about all I can handle. Sometimes I have to take my shoes off to help me count a little bit. But I'm not brain dead. I'm not brain dead, and I can do the arithmetic, and so can you. All right, now I'm about out of time here, so I'm going to have to close it off right there. Let's see if we can learn from our mistakes. We've been making enough of them, don't you think? All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and the law hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and all of these law hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the law hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, time's up. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.